Really enjoyed this episode. My guest is Elliot Stone. I've played with Elliot in Clontarf. I'm going to be playing against Elliot with him playing me playing with Stoney and him playing with Bechtel. You know, he's a smashing dude, but he's a very modest guy. But he, regardless of whether he likes to think it's a big deal or not, but like he plays international rugby for Gibraltar. Now he talks about the setup, and you know, it's pretty cool. And I know people might say, oh, you know, he's not, it's not, you know, the top tier rugby, but you know, it's still in international rugby, being flown down to play against, you know, playing in Bermuda and all. So he also talks about him winning a senior cup medal on the same team as his brother, which I think is fucking deadly. But yeah, I really enjoyed this view. We also kind of went into the World Cup a little bit. But yeah, it was great to have Elliot on, and I reckon we'll probably do it again. But may as well just jump straight in. Hope you enjoy. Here we go. The Inside Trail. Oh, cheers.
Thank you for having me, Neil. No worries, mate. It's good to have you. It's nice for us to have a little catch up as well.
Of course, it's been a while.
We were just spewing off camera about we're obviously playing in the same league this year, so we're, you know, discussing our different oppositions and that kind of stuff. But
against each other, but together.
I know, exactly, and we were just saying that we're looking forward to our game in Donnybrook. I'm excited for that.
That'll be a reunion and a half. Yeah, the bar will never make so much money afterwards.
Oh, 100%. I'll have to book that Sunday off.
Yeah,
100%. So yeah, but today I feel like what I wanted to start off with, something that I find astonishing, is the country that you play for. And like, I know you were like, oh, I don't really have much to say about it, but I think it's absolutely bizarre that of all places, like, it's Gibraltar.
Yeah, it's quite random. I mean, when I was younger, I moved over there from the UK, and I went to primary school there, which is actually, it was a Loretto, so mixed, obviously.
Fair.
class. And so then when I left onto Rockwell, about coming out of 60, I got a phone call, and they were like, you know, would you have any interest in playing senior rugby? And they'd obviously been subtly keeping up on myself and my brother, just seeing if we were still playing, and they were like, we're putting this team together and we really want to compete at a higher level.
Yeah.
And of course, why would you turn that down?
And
we were like, why not? And so we went over for a few camps and we played for the development side, which is kind of like a seconds team, it's a younger lads team, and then worked our way up, and now we're comfortably in the side, I'd like to think, and a good time to be there as well.
Yeah. So when exactly were you first introduced to this Gibraltar team?
I think it was in about 2015, end of 2015, and then, so we played our first development team match in about the February against Finland.
Yeah.
We liked this, it went well, and then there was a massive tour to Dubai that summer, so huge incentive to get into the team was like a 10-day trip to Dubai.
Ideal.
Which was, you know, you can't complain about that.
And so what way do the matches work with Gibraltar then? Is there a league or how does the...
So at the moment, the way Gibraltar, because we're so far down in the rankings and because of its kind of, I suppose, odd geographical location, it's at the moment blocked by Spain a little bit.
Yeah.
So we play a lot of matches with whoever we can get matches with.
Yeah.
So there's no real set league, but we're working our way into leagues.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So hopefully, you know, there's a bit of there's a chance that we might be playing a few Caribbean sides this year. They're very welcoming. Yeah, so like Jamaica, we just played Bermuda. And then obviously the away matches would be...
Yeah, the away matches in the Caribbean. There's not a lot of away games.
Like, just going over three times a year to the Caribbean, you're not going to complain.
Yeah, 100%.
So that'll be a bit of fun. And so whoever's kind of around, we end up playing. So a lot of the teams who would be higher than us might say, listen, we'd like to have a match, and they might use it as a training match, but that's, you know, it's metal jacket, let's
go. Definitely, yeah, definitely.
So we take the chances we're given.
Yeah. And so you were saying as well, your brother, you play, like, together. So what's that like, playing with your brother? That's obviously something that not all of us get to experience.
I was lucky to experience it in Cup. We won the Cup together down in Rockwell.
Oh, I didn't realise that you were that close in age.
Yeah. And then when he went to UCD and I was playing with Clontarf 20s, we'd enjoy it, but then we decided after J1s, I was like, why don't we try and play together? So we came to agreement of Bechtiv. So we play in Bechtiv, and then playing with Gibraltar is a little bit more different with the anthem, and then we have a lot of friends who play there, but a lot of support behind us. It's a bit more, the passion is definitely there, you know, above what club rugby might have. It's pretty cool knowing that, like, the guy outside you 100% has your back.
So then outside of that, then you were playing with DCU as well then.
Yeah.
And so, like, what's the, obviously it's a little bit of a different atmosphere to, you know, playing with Gibraltar, but, like, what kind of role did you find yourself playing in a team like that versus, you know, it's obviously a completely different, you know, end of things playing in Gibraltar?
Yeah, DCU, well, I originally joined it because coming up from Munster, I didn't know too many people going to DCU, and I said I played rugby, and I knew that the standard was going to be, you know, it's a little bit more social with some very good players all the same. And so I suppose, you know, I fitted in well as more of kind of one of the leaders, you'd like to think.
Yeah.
But a lot of it is lighthearted. You want to improve players while at the same time having a good time. You know, we're all here for a bit of a run around, to stay fit and just get better. Like, exactly, yeah. And training suited, and it was convenient. So coming from a bit more experience, maybe you like to help the kind of lads who don't have that experience, especially when you're playing with the club on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah.
You can afford to step back and help people, and, you know, spend more time on your craft, like if you're kicking, or you can dedicate a bit of practice time. So I had a really good time with DCU.
Yeah, no, fair. I'm actually, like, I'm kind of in that stage where I'm kind of getting involved in it, because, like, obviously last year we played together a little bit, but I wasn't really kind of committed to it fully, but I'm kind of hoping that I'll do a little bit more of that now. They see I'm here for two more years.
And even though it's a lot, like, some days you find yourself, because you do train Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah.
So you'd be training now Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. And then you might have a match on a Wednesday, and then you might have a match on a Saturday. So in about a second year, you know, the body's sore. It's, you can definitely feel it. But then again, you can kind of see the rewards when you're playing better. You know, you get more experience, more game time you get.
And so how, like, what advice could you give for managing, you know, training? Like, what, have you any pre-training or post-training things that you do?
Well, if I'm, you know, so with DCU, they play matches midweek.
Yeah.
And then with club, they normally play them on the weekend. So I definitely take it easy on a Monday training.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to overdo it too early on in the week.
Yeah.
Stretching massive, and then diet as well. Now I might not have had the best of diets.
I'm kind of the same.
But, like, I'm trying to get into it, and then you struggle to find time for the gym. Sometimes just doing the little things like foam rolling, and probably the biggest shout I'd say, and it's actually one of my recent purchases. You might have seen it on my Instagram. Is the massage gun, the fascia gun.
Oh, yes. The thing with the big ball in it.
Like,
looks like an
It's and you know, some of them now you shouldn't be paying more than 100
I thought I saw the market for €400.
If you look around, you could, it's kind of like just a total grey area on the price. You could have an identical model for 450, and then all of a sudden you're buying one for 90. But after matches now, you just, and I don't know how much of a difference it makes, but it certainly feels like a difference, you know, if you're tight anywhere.
Yeah.
And then hydration.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not hydrated and you're training that much,
that's so good luck. So fair. That's it.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you were saying that you're kind of, you could potentially be playing games in the Caribbean and stuff like that, but I figure with the way that Gibraltar is situated, you probably have players coming from all sorts of angles, is it?
Yeah.
Or do most people live in Gibraltar, or what's the kind of demographic like?
So, you know, it could be criticised as a weakness, or it could be one of our greatest strengths. So we have people coming from all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, we look at it as all these guys are coming home to represent, and they're all bringing a different way of playing. So there's plenty of ideas on the training paddock. instead of just having a very one-dimensional kind of a attack or defense, everyone's kind of spitballing ideas, and the coaches are very open to listening to us. You know, like if I say, listen, I think this defense might be better, then they'd happily say, I agree. It's not like a dictatorship, which is really good. But you're right, a lot of the players in university across in the UK or in Scotland, and then obviously myself and Jamie in Ireland, so it's like being called back home for when the matches are. And then with training as well, it can make it a little bit difficult because, you know, we're not there to train Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah.
So it's normally if we have a big fixture, there'll be like two or three camps, which will be like Friday, Saturday, Sunday of training leading up to the match, so that you'll be asked to fly over, dedicate that weekend, and then you come back and then you go over again. Mm-hmm. So you can get the basics right and, you know, kind of get the basic idea of what you're going to do, the structure.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's... I just think it's so cool. Like, I remember, Elliot is an international rugby player.
Yeah,
Gibraltar. But still, do you know what I mean? Like, you always play it down like it's nothing. Like, you're still representing a country.
100%, and you certainly feel like that when you're playing.
Yeah.
Because there aren't many, you know, there's about 30,000, maybe a little bit over, Gibraltarians. And then... But you certainly hear them in loud voice at the matches, and they're very passionate. So, you know, you might not have the biggest fan base, but you can be sure they'll all be at the match supporting you, which is really nice. And if you're walking around in the gear, you'll get people stopping you and, you know, saying best of luck, or getting a taxi out to the match. It's the best. It's really, everyone kind of is behind you, and it's a really nice kind of feeling. And so, even though it might be slightly lower than the World Cup.
Yeah.
Maybe next World Cup.
Yeah.
It certainly is a big thing back home, and it's a lot of fun. We really enjoy it.
Very lucky. I was actually thinking that we might have, just talking about the World Cup there, we might have a little look at the World Cup. Who do you think is going to win the World Cup? Just, I may as well ask what you're here. You keep talking, between check that camera.
Yeah. So obviously the kind of the size of the qualifiers that is the trickiest would probably be, you have Ireland, New Zealand, and then don't they play the winner of England, Australia?
Yeah.
So
I think the road is pretty,
and then you kind of have the Wales, France, Japan, South Africa down the other side. So I think our side is that the Irish side is definitely a bit more tricky.
Yeah.
I think England look very strong.
They do, and Irish, good. Because it's gonna kill me if they win the World Cup.
It'll be brutal. And we were actually watching the Irish English match. You know, the warm up match.
Yeah.
Over in Gibraltar. Now, if any of my friends see this, there was about 30 friends around, all supporting England. Me and Jamie were just having fun going, come on, England. So it's pretty tricky.
Definitely.
I think Ireland haven't performed this World Cup.
Yeah.
But I also think that Ireland perform against teams that they rate.
Yeah.
You know, I think mentally, if Ireland are going in as an underdog, they always outperform themselves.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what happened against that England match, but it was the first warm-up. So I'm not, you know, the All Blacks are going to be tough. I hate to say it, but they look very strong, and I think it could be an All Blacks or New Zealand England semi.
Yeah.
And then
I'm trying to. So what? The winner of quarterfinal one, which is, that's Ireland, isn't it? No.
Am I right in saying that?
I think. See, I think New Zealand and England can only meet in the final. I think.
Oh really? That would be different then.
Yeah. Or maybe. I don't know. Maybe that is the winner of them play each other. Is it? Is that one and two? Yeah, I assume it is. And then what? Three and four play each other, which is Wales, France. Yeah, I think you are right.
Jeez. Well.
Either
way, so, you know, I think I was actually coming over, I was listening to another podcast, and I think these four quarterfinals, I think there's room for upset in every single one.
100%.
I think England will beat Australia. I think Japan, South Africa is difficult to call, but like South Africa, look.
You would like to think that South Africa will come out.
I hope Japan win.
Yeah, 100%. I think for the sake of it.
100%.
I heard that as a result of Japan getting into the quarterfinals, they're now considered a tier one nation.
Yeah, it's such a grey area, because is it down to money? Is it down to the players playing or what club? So it's real confusing, because you have the likes of Italy and Scotland, who have now been, you know, Japan you'd consider better than the two of them.
Definitely.
And they're both tier one nations ahead of Japan. Yeah. So I hope that they deserve to be.
Definitely. I don't know if it's something that's actually been looked into now, but I heard that there was some, there's something about there that they could there be a seven nations?
Yeah, and did you hear about potentially now kind of whispers around a rugby championship with Fiji, so like a six nations Southern Hemisphere style with like New Zealand, Argentina, Australia, Scotland, Fiji and Japan?
Scotland, isn't
it? Oh, sorry. What did I say? No. South Africa, Australia, Argentina, New Zealand, Fiji and Japan.
Yeah.
So like adding Fiji and Japan to that rugby championship, which I mean,
I think Fiji were great. Like, it really disappoints me that they lost that match to Uruguay.
Yeah.
Because I feel like after that loss, it was kind of like, oh, we kind of can't get through here now.
Shook the boat a little. But against Wales, I mean, for 75 minutes, maybe 70 minutes, they had the beat at the best.
Yeah, they definitely did.
And then I think just slipped away. But then again, look at the, you know, they don't have that much financial backing.
Yeah.
They're struggling on that kind of side of things.
Yeah.
World Rugby should probably step in.
Yeah, but I think that something like that, like introducing them, as you said, into like a seven nations or a, you know, because I think there's not enough teams in the Southern Hemisphere international championship. I feel like they only really have, what, three games?
Yeah.
And they play home. They play home and away as well.
So I think it's they play each team twice.
Yeah.
So one home, one away. Yeah. But then, you know, there's always room for upset with, like, you know, maybe one team will be New Zealand. But then it's always between Australia, South Africa, second.
Yeah.
There's no real kind of, like, match there. You're like,
oh, this is close.
Like, Australia are either flying or South Africa flying. Yeah. Like, they're going to win. So you'd like to see Japan come in, and even Fiji can cause upsets as well. So you'd love to see, you know, this is the tightest World Cup so far.
Yeah, definitely.
But you want to see it get tighter and tighter.
100%.
Yeah, so fingers crossed.
I actually wonder, just have a brief look at what do the bookies have? Who are the favourites on the bookies? It's England -8. Will they cover that? Will they beat Australia by more than 8?
I think they will.
Yeah,
I think so. You know, Michael Cech is going really into this kind of like, he's very tactical in a way. He likes to sell every match to his players more or less as everyone's doubting us. We are the underdogs. And Australia then come out, you know, all guns blazing.
Yeah.
And it's very smart because at the moment, everyone's writing Australia off.
Yeah.
But I think if you look at the English pack, I mean, your man, like that, like, no way. They're so big.
What do you think? I think that England team is really strong and they just haven't looked like that they don't deserve to go further in the World Cup.
Yeah.
And like, but then again, if Australia pull up, like they beat New Zealand something like pretty 40 something.
Yeah.
In the Rugby Championship. So I feel like, you know, if Australia show up, but that being said, haven't really seen that Australia team in the World Cup so far.
Yeah.
But you know, I suppose as you said, there are room for upsets.
Of course.
And then the bookies have us at +12 against New Zealand. That seems generous.
Yeah.
To them, like,
who do you think is going to take it in that match?
Well, like, I think if I'm not Irish, I'm kind of thinking that it's the All Blacks because we haven't performed that well. But as you said, when we come in as underdogs, it does leave a little bit more room for us to actually, you know, be like, okay, maybe we can do this.
Yeah. And I mean, I was looking at Sexton against Samoa, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And did he have like two tries and nearly all his kicks?
He looked very comfortable.
Like, that's, you know, him playing compared to him not playing is huge.
It's just, I hate that we have to have so much relying on him.
100%.
Because it's just like, you know, one knock or one.
And against these big teams, if we can discuss this and we know how we think Ireland are going to play, then imagine people who are, what it's their job to analyze
it. 100%.
I don't know. I think the All Blacks might take it, but
yeah, I think though, I think it should be settled within 12.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
All right, we'll put that there. We'll have a little bet by the end of this. Right, so then they have Wales at -6. Will they beat Wales? Or sorry, will Wales beat France?
Like, again, I think so.
Yeah.
I think Wales will beat France. I mean, there's a lot of kind of disruption going on.
Mm.
Or disturbance, whatever going on in the French team. I mean, yeah. With the talk of like a mutiny.
Yeah.
Girardi, is it the French captain? Yeah. And there's a lot of kind of there's something going on that it's not a happy camp at the moment. But
I don't think that French camp has been happy for about a year now. Like that Six Nations was didn't seem settled at all.
Absolutely. But then if you look how Wales beat Australia, but then weren't 100%. Well, I suppose they have had a good few poor stages, but France beat Argentina.
That game, though, you know, I felt Argentina really could have won that.
Yeah, I think Wales should be winning.
Yeah, you think Wales will go through? And then the Japan South Africa match. And the bookies have Japan at plus 15.
Oof.
That's a big margin for South Africa, considering what the
Japanese have shown.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll beat them by that.
No. So we do Japan on the plus. See, I just can't really pick that Wales-France game.
Yeah, you're a bit in doubt.
What's
telling you about France?
I just think that the French in the World Cup, they always have this, where they can just kind of stick something in the...
Yeah.
How do you even say it? Where they can just, you know... They just fuck it up for everyone. But they just play an unreal game. They're like, France are in semi-final.
Yeah. Just kind of... They can create an upset again.
Yeah.
And that's literally how I felt about all four matches.
Yeah. Hard to pick them.
I mean, put cash on each of the underdogs on an accumulator.
That'd be unreal.
Yeah, can you imagine if Japan get through to the semi-final?
That'd be huge as hosts as well. I think that'd be... You know, the one thing that we did a podcast, myself, Evan, and Jenna, about we were talking about the fixtures and all, and like when Japan had their hardest game or whatever way the fixtures worked out, that they had a big break and they had their the opening game, they had a nice break, and then now they have Japan, that game was against Scotland, will that take that much out of them? They look pretty comfortable by the end of it.
I think them beating Ireland...
Can you check the camera again?
I think that them beating Ireland was no fluke. Like, if you look at the way they played, that wasn't like a Ireland play bad. Like, Japan played, they played very well. They played to their structure and they won. Same against Scotland.
I also think that scoreline, it does flatter Scotland in a way. It looks a lot closer on paper, whereas, I think that... The front row for Scotland when it changed, I think two, maybe I'm wrong, but two of the tries scored were, kind of weird.
Bit iffy, kind of.
And they were from, props coming on, and there was, they didn't look like that they were, well-worked tries. They kind of just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Whereas the Japanese tries, I know that they had won one of the, they'd won a try that came from nothing, but, they just seemed to be in a lot more control.
Holding onto the ball, the Japanese just...
Their defence and their breakdown, I just don't really... It's come from nowhere. Do you know? They're very disciplined. They kind of flirt with that offside line a lot. But they... I would have considered Ireland to have one of the most well-drilled, breakdowns and defences. But, Japan showed them that, they can do it just as well,
Talking about what you were just saying about, how the layout has really benefited Japan... Mm. Looking at the layout, they opened against Russia, which is kind of you want to win if you're opening in your country. A bit like that's who you stick down there. Mm. And then they played the rest of the teams and they were. Then they played. Was it the Irish the second?
I think it was Ireland next.
And then I think the main match they targeted was a Scottish match because Scotland played.
I think they had been targeting us and we had just completely forgotten about them.
Really, I think it's the layout because they put Scotland up against Samoa four days before they played Scotland.
Yeah.
So they had a big gap to rest and Scotland were coming off, I thought Japan would win that match regardless. But, it's exciting times.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, fair. I suppose we better move away from our rugby chat a little bit because I feel like we actually could just be about the World Cup and anything else all day.
Four-hour podcast.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to move on to our segments a little bit, right? So the first thing is your life hack. What's your life hack?
So my life hack is to do with travel. And now, when you book a hotel, they always say leave a note section.
Yeah.
Now, hands down, always write a sob story. It's worked for me a number of times. it's my birthday and yeah. this is my only break from university.
Yeah.
I've been in Dubai for 10 days before.
Yeah.
And if the hotel can, yeah. the, like, you know, because you get the people working at the hotel yeah. and they'll read this and they'll be like, oh, is there any chance? And what do you have to lose? And
yeah.
I've been upgraded sometimes. Sometimes I'll leave it like a bottle of champagne.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's happened to me in Ireland down... Oh, where was it? It was a hotel down in Nice, like just a country club kind yeah. of thing. And then it's happened to me over in London, and it's happened to me in France as well. Just something small, if you're going away with a girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sob story. I must write that one. Yeah, I'm definitely going to keep that one. Yeah.
Anniversary kind of thing, birthdays.
Yeah, I'm actually on to Amsterdam in like 2 weeks. And, you know, I'm sob actually going to... Okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. Okay, fresh.
It works.
Okay, I'm definitely using that one. Okay, so now, basically, this kind of new segment, we used to do the bring your own gag segment, but I kind of felt that kind of got a bit burnt out. So basically, I just kind of thought that we do this new kind of random couple of questions, right? So,
okay,
what would be your perfect weekend?
Perfect weekend, somewhere hot straight away.
Yeah.
Perfect mixture of time. So all the lads there for yeah. a good time.
Cheers.
Down. You can come, mate. You're there.
Unreal, I'm there.
Obviously, bring the girlfriend later on. And then, yeah, so probably big Friday night. I like going out on the Friday night because it just makes it the 2-day hangover.
Yeah.
And then Saturday, probably a good day of ruggers, watching a bit of rugby.
I thought you were going to say playing. I was like, I cannot play rugby.
No. You know, just sitting down, just watching the rugby chilled out and with all the lads and then potentially something in the evening, let me think. Food.
Like hungover food is tough.
Hungover food, you're talking big fry up.
Yeah.
And maybe takeaway in the evening.
Maybe. Yeah. And then
Sunday, you're back at it with, let me think, what kind of thing?
What's your perfect Sunday? After being out on the Friday, chilled out enough on Saturday, but how do you finish out the weekend?
Like, if I wasn't here, I'd love to say something like potentially, like say, beach club or scuba diving or something like that, and to get out of the house.
Yeah.
Scuba diving is pretty good fun, but that's more Spain related.
Yeah. I wouldn't really be scuba diving, like something or something.
On Sunday, like big Sunday roast.
Yeah.
And then it's normally nice. Jeez, oh, you really could call me with this one now.
Are you the NFL?
Yeah.
NFL on Sunday in red zone is just a key to my end of my weekend.
Yeah. Ramsey gone to the Rams.
Class.
Big move.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm trying to suss it. Like, on Sundays, like, I'm just like, let me get back now. Sorry. Kind of ruined this for you. But Friday night out with everyone.
Yeah.
Saturday, then, you know, you get sometimes the Six Nations matches.
Oh, yeah.
Big Six Nations
show. All 3 days. The last day of the Six Nations. Bang. You get the three. Oh. You've hit that nail on the head.
And then plenty of food that probably keep me nice and happy.
That sounds like an ideal weekend. Alright, so the next one is, what is your favourite way to waste time?
Fortnite.
Yeah.
PlayStation, Fortnite. Like PlayStation in general, even Madden and 2K.
I've played Madden ages, I need to get my hands on a game.
I'll get back into it. We're playing it in my house at the moment. You know how FIFA can sometimes you can overdo it.
You get a bit burnt out. So we're all
Madden.
Heavily into the Madden.
You literally can't wake up and someone will be playing at 12 trying to get ahead of the next guy. But it's kill time. I could kill days on the
PlayStation. you can lose hours.
Yeah, literally.
Okay, so when was the last time that you worked incredibly hard on something?
The Masters.
Yeah.
Last year.
Oh shit, yeah. I forgot to bring up the Masters.
What a nightmare. Like, I don't want to say it, but like, I don't know if I'd be able to have completed that Masters going in knowing how much work there was to do. So from about start of April, maybe even, you know, halfway through March, all the way through to the start of June, you're doing, you know, nearly 12 hours days, maybe more in the library, which is a lot. And then even May, you finish your exams, and we were doing about 3,500 words a day for about 3.5 weeks.
That's a lot of tip tapping away.
Like. Yeah, so like it's a lot, and you know, if I kind of half assed that, like, there'd be no way.
Yeah.
So that was definitely the last time I could say that. But even in the Gibraltar match, like leading up to that, there's a lot of 2 weeks in advance eating right.
Yeah.
But I say the Masters, it took it out of me. Yeah, 100%. That was really tough.
Fair. No, it definitely sounds it. Okay, can you name something that you were really into as a kid that, you know, just it might be a little bit obscure to look back on now?
I was very good at chess.
Oh yeah, I actually fucking love chess, so we actually have to get a game of chess soon.
I was back when I was younger, I played in like the English Championship.
Oh yeah. Chess.
So like I was like nationally ranked.
That is close.
Not a big deal, but literally
nationally ranked chess champion and plays for Gibraltar. Jesus.
But like so when I was probably, and then in Rockwell, I remember, and my brother again was very good, so we always used to play together. And then I didn't play for 6 years in Rockwell, and I was like, okay, in 6 years, I'm going to go to the chess club and see what it's like. And I went down, and you know, we played against the priest who was teaching everyone, and we both beat him in under half an hour. And we were like, so we didn't waste any time doing this for 6 years. And loved it at the time, but even looking back on it, you'd be playing matches in these competitions and they'd be lasting, you'd be sat there for 5 hours.
Yeah.
Because the clocks would be 2.5 hours a turn. So that's pretty obscure.
That's an odd one. Okay, fair. So the last part of the random question round is, if you opened a business of your choice, what kind of business would you go into?
Goodness me, that's actually something I'm thinking about as well at the moment. I think if I was to had to invest my money right now in something, with the knowledge I have, I'd probably go into something restaurant orientated.
Yeah.
I think there's money to be made in food.
Yeah.
And like I haven't done research. This is just, but I think it'd be quite cool. Even like a pub or not even a night out kind of spot, but like I'd probably go into that kind of market. Yeah. I like to think I know my steaks and something to do, something simple. Classy, but not too expensive.
What is your steak choice?
Fillet,
yeah.
T-bone is good too. But I like fillet. Fillet
nice and juicy. Alright, so are you ready to attack this trivia?
Let's give it a go.
Okay, right.
What's the worst you've ever had?
Like, the worst score?
Yeah.
Oh, one. So, like, once you get one, you're on board, you know?
You know, starting now, I just have to get one. Okay.
Okay, right, so. Okay, like, and they are obviously hard, but, like, you know.
I suppose that's the point.
Yeah. So, where was David Beckham's son, Cruz, born?
Oh, so, do you want country or do you want, like, place?
If you could do, I've got city and country here, but I'll give you a 0.5 for just the country, if you can give me the
other one. I'm spitballing out loud, I'm thinking England, but then they lived over in California as well, and then it could be something totally random, like Hong Kong or something. How is he?
Oh, no idea. He's got like, what, 4 kids?
So, I'll say California?
No, it's Madrid, Spain.
Oh, gee. Yeah. I don't know which one's the oldest and the youngest. So.
To be fair, neither do I. I actually don't know which one he is. Which planet in our solar system has the most rings?
Is it Jupiter?
It's not. It is Uranus.
Oh, I was going to say Saturn is my second guess on that. I didn't.
How many stars has the flag of China?
Oh, I'm trying to actually picture the flag.
Yeah. Take your time.
Flag of China. Is it? My science too. Is it one?
No. I'll let you go again.
I'll decide.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Second guess, not to make a fool of myself. 22?
That's 5.
5?
It was like one end to the other.
Like 105. I'm like, I'm fucking. Jesus.
Alright, well, look, this one's slightly easier.
What
was the second film in the Harry Potter series?
Okay, so Philosopher's Stone was the first one. Okay. So, not the Deathly Hallows, not the. No, I'm not a big Harry Potter fan.
Yeah, fair.
This is Lord of the Rings, it'd be different. I'm trying to picture what happened. Chamber of Secrets?
Yes. He's on the board.
Yes. I'm not last.
No, you're not. You're joint last right now, so you better get some more, right? Okay, so which British athlete won gold in both the 5,000 and 10,000 Summer Olympics in 2016?
Was it Mo Farah?
Yes, it was. There he is. Look, you're climbing now. Here we
go.
All right, so Chardonnay, Malaga, and Merlot are types of which fruit?
Grape?
Yes. Man knows his wine.
Yeah.
It's always, I suppose if you know wine, you can kind of jig that around. But look, you're on 3. All right, so in what year was the last man missioned to the moon?
96?
72.
Jeez, that's a long time ago.
Yeah. I feel like they're just like, nah, we know what's
happening. I actually met two of the guys who was actually on
the last
video. Over in Paris at the air show.
That's so cool.
Yeah, me, Conor McGinn, Jamie, Lauren and Ava, we met two of the astronauts.
That's unreal.
At the time, we were like, oh, hey, how are you? Yeah. Back to it.
Yeah.
But looking back on it, we should have probably made a bigger deal.
It's like, just mad to think that they've been on the moon.
Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy.
It's huge.
Probably should have got closer.
Yeah, realistically, we can find them. We'll find them again. Okay, so which shape valley typically denotes glacial activity?
So now there's a V and a U shape valley. Which one? I'm going to say, it's a V because it could fill up with water easier, but in a U because it can fit a glacier easier. Let's go U.
Yeah, it's you. Okay, you're on. You're 4 now, right? All right, you have 2 more, right? Okay, so the 2 largest cities in the world are both in China, but which is the largest?
I don't know many cities. I know Beijing's in China. I don't even know if that's one of the largest. But I won't be able to name. Beijing is in China, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, I'm not
wrong. I did want to correct you.
I'll just go with Beijing.
Yeah, no. I think Beijing could be the other one, but it's actually Shanghai.
Shanghai name.
Okay, so last question. So this is your, I think the highest anyone's ever got is 5. So if
Really?
You're 100%. So if you get this one, you're up there on top spot.
Amongst legends.
Whereas still at 4, you're actually... shouldering through this. So, which 1994 film does Jim Carrey attempt to rescue a dolphin?
Ace Ventura.
Yes, he knows movies. Yes, chief. That's 5.
Yeah, that's not so bad.
No, that's not
Ace Ventura. Yeah.
What a flick!
What a movie! I remember watching that as a kid. Just how good is Jim Carrey?
He's a bit bananas.
He is. But
it's funny.
It makes it. I watched that movie a fair few times. So, was it Dan Marino, isn't it?
Yeah, Dan Marino, spot on. The quarterback or the kicker.
I remember that. The Dolphins, was it?
Yeah, and then it turns out that the bird is a fella. Is that what it is?
Yeah, it is. Only a little bit weird at the end, but
yeah, it was a bit of an abrupt end.
Great movie. I have to say.
And so that, so you know,
5
unreal.
There we go, happy days.
We've actually flown through that. I think we've actually been going for nearly 40 minutes as well. You know, once you get spewing, it's just hard to stop.
It is, especially about Ruggers.
Yeah, especially just 2 Ruggers head just going at a bit of union spew.
It makes it, doesn't it? Probably do it for 2 hours.
Exactly.
Thank you very much for having me.
No worries. 100%. I feel like. Once your brothers start climbing up the leagues and in the next World Cup, we'll definitely do this again.
Look out! Yeah, I'll be back.
Definitely.
I want to be that high score 5 and take on 6 next time.
All right. Well, we're doing it now. So
yeah.
I'm locking it. I've got the day ready. But other than that, that's our spew. So, bam, bam, bam.